Blog Talk Radio.
To release any possible negative karma and live a joyful and creative life right now. Today's guest will share some unique and exciting possibilities, so stay tuned. Welcome to my radio show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, Love in the Blizzard of Life novel, and Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life's purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. At age 15, a single bolt of lightning activated Mary Blake's latent healing abilities. 25 years later, her denial finally ended when her own lung cancer was spontaneously healed by another healer. With gratitude and humility, she dedicated the rest of her life to working as an instrument of divine purpose. She earned degrees from the New York Seminary and Blanton Peel Institute of Pastoral Counseling, trained with leaders in the field, and became seriously involved with alternative healing, nutrition, and most recently, anti-aging. So I am absolutely delighted to welcome my colleague and good friend, Mary Blake, who I just had the privilege of spending almost a week with, and I had a really life-changing healing experience. So she's here today to talk about her updated, really powerful book, Bye Bye Bad Karma. Some of it will amaze you. So welcome, Mary Blake.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here with you. Okay.
So we're going to start by my asking you to please tell us about your personal experiences and years of training. What led you to lead others on these life-changing, unexpected, and powerful journeys into other lifetimes and other realities, which actually affect their current lives? So tell us how this all came about.
Well, actually, I backed into this kicking and screaming. No, not me. I started out as a total skeptic. I really did. I thought the hypnosis, the past life regressions, was a scam. I had tried it in London. It really didn't work. I was there studying and working to increase my own ability and my own effectiveness as a healer. And because I was always a worker and a student, and that's just the way I approach life. I don't take anything for granted, and I always believe you can always improve yourself. So what happened was a medical student talked me into doing a healing class. And the second class we had, this medical student wound up being propelled into another lifetime, and she was, of all things, she was dying of childbirth, And it was terrifying. I mean, I was shaking. I didn't know what hit me, and I didn't know how to handle it. I knew I had to take care of her, and I also had a room full of students that I had to take care of, and I couldn't let anybody know how terrified I was. So what I did was I just screamed inside my head. I said, God, somebody, help, help. And it was as if this marvelous, warm, wise, gentle, strong being just floated down into me. And I've sort of, I was watching from observing myself and observing what was going on and hearing what was coming out of my mouth that I wasn't saying. And I was always thinking, my goodness, what a brilliant question. I never would have thought of that. But this spirit, this incredible, powerful spirit came in and took care of everything and resolved the issue that she had had, which was she died furious at her husband who wasn't there. And in the course of the half hour or whatever she was out, we found out that he actually had been killed by Indians, and so she had to be convinced of that. And when she forgave him and came back, everything changed, and it changed her life. Not only it changed her life, but it changed her body. Her body chemistry, but because she had had agonizing menses all her life, she had to go to bed for 3 or 4 days. And she came in about 3 weeks later and said, I just had the most wonderful period of my life. It started, I didn't even know it was happening. And no pain, no going to bed, no agony, no terror, no... I mean, she spent most of her time worrying about what was going to happen before it came. You know, and she, it was that bad, and it was gone, completely gone. So,
wow!
So that's the way it started out, and I'm thinking it's a once in a lifetime experience. And the next week, somebody else went into another lifetime. And she went into a lifetime as an African who was captured in the jungle and brought to America as a slave. And she was this beautiful red-haired Jewish girl from Lake Forest, Illinois, which is a very, very upscale suburb of Chicago. And it turned out that the slave had died of what they called, let's see, what did they call it? The common word for tuberculosis. And believe it or not, this girl at 17 in this very rich suburb of Chicago had contracted tuberculosis. And the two things, the knowledge of this very, very noble savage who was supposed to become the chief. He was the son of the chief, the prince of his territory, and being mutilated so he couldn't run or anything. This was the second thing. So at this point, I was really completely flabbergasted. And then the next week, two people went into other lifetimes, and I was stuck, because after that, people, you know, it spread through the community. Everybody wanted to do it, and I didn't think it would happen without the class. I'm thinking, you know, this is from the class energy that has nothing to do with me, you know.
Right.
And then there was this psychologist who worked with the Mental Health Board of New York City, And he was a member of the class, and he said, I'd like to do it, but I can't do it publicly because of my status. And I mean, if anybody got word of this at work, I'd lose my job, you know. And so I said, I don't think it'll happen, because I was blaming it on the class and that combined energy. But it actually did happen. And then from then on, it just became deeper and broader and more powerful. And every time anyone goes into another lifetime, it just adds to the depth and the power of the work, the technique. And I didn't know what to call it, and finally decided I should call it multi-life therapy, because some people go into more than one lifetime. So, and it's definitely not regression, because in the hypnotic regression, you can't change anything, because it's in the past. And so it's like carved in stone or cast in bronze or whatever. You can look but don't touch. It's almost like watching a videotape.
Well, people do sometimes seem to heal in this lifetime just because they looked at that other lifetime and saw possible causes of whatever's going on in this life. But you're doing something even more.
Right, because the spirit that works with me takes the people backwards in their lifetime and shows them ways that they could avoid the crisis that causes our karma.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example,
this lifetime. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly, and they go backwards in their lifetime, and just bypass the problem. When it first started happening, we weren't privy to that, but it was just knowing it and feeling it, and the actual forgiveness kind of thing made the total difference, but. Since then, other amazing things have happened. One fellow came in; he was being hanged for poaching on an aristocrat's property, killing a rabbit so he could eat.
But just remind people that this experience was happening in some other lifetime. It wasn't happening in his current life.
Exactly. It was happening in 1722, okay, in London.
Right.
And he was
having that experience now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is, of course, is in the book. This I'm giving you kind of a shortcut version of Bye Bye Bad Karma, because this is sort of gave you chapter one, you know, and another chapter was a session where this fellow spirit challenged him to find another way to get some food. And in doing it, opened incredible doors for him. And instead of getting hanged, he wound up the protege of the Lord, inherited the whole estate. And after wasting a little time drinking and gambling, decided then spirit challenged him to find a boy and help him. A local boy and help him as the Lord had helped him. And he said, I can do better than that. I can form a school and I can teach many, many boys. So he wound up living 21 years longer because he was hanged on his 21st.
Right, but you're saying that he went back and actually changed something that had happened to him in a previous lifetime.
And you can't say back, because then you're going into the past. You say we went over to another lifetime.
Uh-huh.
And it's like going from London to Singapore. You're in a different time of year. You're in a different culture, different language, different everything, and it happens in hours. Well, this is, we are going into another now,
mm-hmm.
and into another aspect of your whole self. And the thing that I learned, which is so incredible, is that nothing that ever happened to you is carved in stone. It's not cast in bronze. It is flowing, and everything, because the spirit explains that everything is happening on a consciousness level. And some people that are very wise and have studied for many years, and they're wiser than I am, say that consciousness is holding the universe together. That,
mm-hmm.
that the only thing that is important is consciousness.
And I've heard that also from
yeah.
different experiences, the power of our
mm-hmm.
consciousness. Talk a little more about that.
Well, Stardust, my number one spirit guide, says that nothing that ever happened anytime, anywhere is important. The only thing that is important is how that happening impacts on the consciousness. How does it change you? How does it change your basic consciousness? And there is a core consciousness that the most important things that we learn and experience in every lifetime goes into and adds to that consciousness. And I think of it almost like the God self, if that makes any sense.
So what do you mean by the God self?
Well, if you've got the wisdom and compassion of every single lifetime that your soul has lived anytime, anywhere in time, anywhere in space, anywhere on Earth or in other universes or other galaxies or whatever. If you think of all of those experiences melded together into one huge consciousness, wouldn't you think of that almost like the God self?
You mean it's so powerful and you can access solutions
yes.
to any problem?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, and we have the capability of reaching that, but you have to trust. There's an enormous trust that has to be built. To quote a nice Jewish fellow by the name of Jesus, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be as a little child. And that childlike trust and that childlike openness is necessary to experience it. And that's the only thing that is necessary.
Wow. So what I want to ask you is, I have a few questions, but this one is, because someone has to be like a little child and be so open, do you only work with people who are really receptive and, you know, these way out, woo-woo kind of people? Or what kinds of
no.
clients have you worked with?
No, as a matter of fact, I've worked on people from a 7-year-old child to an 87-year-old woman. And some of the people that I really thought would not be able to negotiate it, just sailed right through. It's a question of concentration and focus.
Mm-hmm.
And a CEO of an international corporation often has that kind of concentration and that kind of ability to literally shut everything else out and be right where they are. You need to be in the moment.
And you can't be thinking and judging, because if you're judging that's probably just disappears.
You hit it so perfectly. If you have to shut off your analytical nature, because if you say to yourself, I must be making this up, boom, it's like bursting a soap bubble. Or you could say, am I imagining this? This is crazy. This can't be happening. And then it unhappens. You have to set aside your analytical nature. And I say, you have all the rest of your life to analyze this. Just be here now.
Wow. But I do have another question, because you've told me a story and I'd love you to share it about your own personal healing. And I think that catapulted you into trusting that this work can work.
Oh, totally. I was doing healing classes, and the healing classes metamorphosed into spiritual development classes because of these crazy things that were happening in the healing class, and it just changed completely. And one evening, two girls arrived for my class in the middle of a blizzard. And I said to them, mm-hmm. anybody who comes to my class in the middle of a blizzard deserves something special. Let's see if we can hold hands and go into another lifetime where we all knew each other. And we wound up 3 gringos on our mm-hmm. horses coming back from the Mexican-American War. And we were just having a blast. We were laughing and carrying on, and we had a brainstorm. We decided that we would take a shortcut across Texas, and we would get home early, and the rest of the guys would come in. We would be sitting on the porch swing with a long tall drink, laughing our heads off at them. And of course it backfired, and we ran out of food and we ran out of water, and we came to this horrible arroyo where at the bottom of it there was some gross looking water, and the horses bolted and started drinking it, and they went into convulsions, and we had to shoot our horses. And then we were really stuck, and so I wound up dying in the desert, and the thing that really killed me was a rattlesnake that crawled up on my leg and bit me in the thigh, and I died instantly. And I had always had being a totally fearless person, I was petrified with snakes, and I could smell them 2 blocks away. I could smell them and get deathly sick and go into dry heaves and all kinds of things. After this happened, I actually went out and was able to tolerate heat for the first time in my life. I almost died of heat when I was 1. And then the snakes, I walked out. It was July, and it was a scorcher. It was a heat wave, 95 plus for days. And I walked out to go to the hardware store, and there was a van with two, with a man and woman with these giant pythons wrapped around them, and I must have, you know, jerked in away from it, and the man said, "Oh, you scared of snakes? You scared of this nice, nice friendly snake? It's a lovely, lovely snake. Come over and touch it." And I took a deep breath, and I wasn't going to be badgered like that, so I walked over and literally touched that snake, and then it hit me. All my life I've been terrified of snakes, and all my life I've had a violent chemical reaction to snakes, and nothing happened. And I had to quick get into a restaurant and order a glass of iced tea and try to figure this out. And when I could walk again, I went home and meditated, and I finally realized that what I thought was in my subconscious was convinced that that snake had murdered me. And with my 20th century understanding of how bad it would be to die in the desert, and a strong, healthy soldier could take days to die in agony, I realized that that snake biting me and ending that lifetime was a mercy killing, not a murder. And that changed my whole life.
That's amazing.
When I was in Sao Paulo to do a presentation at the International Congress of Alternative Therapists, they took us to a venom factory, and I just walked around looking at those snakes, and everything was fine.
Wow. So
my body chemistry was changed.
So just tell us a little more about how your clients benefit from your work.
Oh, my. Yes. Well, people who just couldn't go forth and introduce themselves to people who were very shy and embarrassed, all of a sudden they're walking right in and saying, "Hi, where are you? How is everybody?" And I think I'll sit down here, instead of saying, "Oh, is it okay if I sit here?" You know, and a complete different change, and people that were embarrassed to do their work were going out and doing brilliant things, and people who had suffered from allergies didn't have them anymore. All kinds of amazing things. People, there was one girl who came in. She absolutely hated her sister, who was born when she was 4. And she had another sister that was born when she was 2 that she didn't hate. She just loved that sister. But this sister, they couldn't get along. And it turned out that they had been enemies in another lifetime. And once they resolved that issue, they were together all the time. They were having such wonderful fun together and supporting each other in their work. The first client was in a she was an aspiring actress, and she got work, and she got her career went forward, and then her sister was into the back end of show business, and she had a wonderful. She was written up in the New York Times for costumes and stage things that she had done for an off-Broadway show. And this was someone who just couldn't get anywhere, couldn't get noticed, couldn't nothing. And then once the situation that she confronted was resolved and changed completely. All the barriers were knocked down.
Wow. Homer, we're coming to the end, so I would really like you to share with people, how they can get your book. Remind us of the title of the book, your website.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
The title of the book is Bye Bye Bad Karma, and it's available on demand. It's available on Amazon and a number of other online booksellers. And you can always reach me at my email is it's I'll give you an easy one. Peak, P-E-A-K, like a mountain peak, vitality at gmail.com. And my home number is 212-724-4081. And I would be delighted to hear some feedback and see what this conversation has meant to some of your listeners.
And the website, just repeat that,
is byebyebadkarma.com.
And bye.
Thank you for reminding me.
byebadkarma.com.
Right.
Well,
exactly. And they're all lowercase. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mary, it's such a delight to speak with you and for you to share this wisdom. So do you have any final words that to help people out if they're suffering or struggling?
I would say that the most important thing is to be open to the wonderful things that can happen, and to stop shutting off your own good. We are taught so many negative things. I mean, when we're children, we get 32 no's for every yes. So you need to say yes to you. You need to say yes to the most wonderful things that you can possibly think of doing. And just not allow any negatives, any cants, anything, because you never know. I mean, I was born in the Bible Belt, and miracles stopped, at the end of the Bible, and Jesus was the only one who could do healing. So here I am working with healing, not only working with healing the body, but healing the spirit and the consciousness.
Wow.
And it's something that I could never have imagined.
And most of us could not imagine having this experience. So please check out Mary's work. You'll be amazed. So, Mary, I want to thank you so much for speaking with me today. And sorry that we have to end.
Well, as you know, we can talk about this for a couple of weeks. So it's very intense. Thank you.
And I hope a lot of people check it out and have an experience.
Yes, and just expand. Just be as big and as wonderful as you can possibly be. That's what I wish for everybody.
Beautiful. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com. where you can apply for a complimentary Healing Through Love session and browse the site to help you heal through love. Bye for now, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Bye, everybody, and blessings.